This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Thank you for joining us in the History of Islam class. We will talk today about Quraysh and the era before the birth of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We mentioned that Quraysh is the name of a man. That man is Fihr ibn Malik, one of the grandfathers of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We mentioned yesterday the meaning of Quraysh, and today inshallah we will continue by the incidents that happened after the children of Ismail, Qusay ibn Kilab and his group, after they regained the leadership of Mecca. How many names of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam do you know? How many grandfathers of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam do you know? This is the lineage of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam all the way to Adnan. Adnan is one of the grandchildren of Ismail alayhi salam. Muhammad ibn Abdullah ibn Abdul Muttalib ibn Hashim ibn Abdul Manaf ibn Qusay ibn Kilab ibn Murrah ibn Ka'b ibn Lu'ay ibn Ghalib ibn Fihr ibn Malik ibn Nadr ibn Kinana ibn Khuzaymah ibn Mudrika ibn Ilyas ibn Mudar ibn Nizar ibn Ma'ad ibn Adnan. That's the name of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the Prophet ﷺ said himself, indeed Allah has chose from the children of Adam, Ismail, and from his children, Kinana, and from his children, Quraysh, and he chose me from Quraysh. So the Prophet ﷺ was chosen from the chosen ones. So Quraysh is the name of Fihr ibn Malik, and Quraysh means gathering, means searching. We mentioned the several meanings of Quraysh. Now, when Qusay ibn Kilab, he regained the leadership of Mecca, they were trying to regain, to reopen the well of Zamzam, but they were unable to. By that time, there were many evil habits developed in Arabia due to the nature, due to the ignorance, due to many reasons. Eventually, the society was corrupt. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ was sent amongst them. Every time the people deviate, there should be a messenger sent to them to remind them, to straighten them, to bring them back to the straight path. That was the job of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we will take a glimpse at the social life in Arabia before the advent of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is important to understand the change that happened. Umar radiallahu anhu, he says, the knots of Islam, the rituals of Islam, will be untied one by one. If people grew in Islam while they did not know the days of ignorance. In order for you to appreciate more what Islam has given you, look at the people who are not following Islam. Look at their miserable life. At the time, before the time of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that was the situation. This is just, these are a few examples. In general, they degraded females. They considered them less human than the males. And that was the practice of the Arab. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that in the Quran. Once the father is given the glad tidings of a female, baby girl, he frowns. He becomes unhappy. Why? Because they want males who will grow up and fight and gain more money. So they disliked females. They used to bury them alive. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentioned. وَإِذَا الْمَوْءُودَةُ سُئِلَتْ بِأَيِّ ذَنْبٍ قُتِلَتْ. Now not everybody used to do that. But many Arab, they used to do that. Umar radiallahu anh, he's one of them. Umar radiallahu anh, he buried his daughter alive. So, these are a few examples. They used to play with the months. Now, they had some remainings of the religion of Ibrahim. They knew the timing for the Hajj. They knew that it is in Dhul Hijjah. But when is Dhul Hijjah? It's the 12th month. They used to change that. They used to delay the months according to their desires. That's why Allah mentioned in Surah At-Tawbah, إِنَّمَا النَّسِيءُ زِيَادَةٌ فِي الْكُفْرِ. Indeed, nasi, delaying the months, is added to their kufr. They are deviated by that. This is one of their practices. Another thing they used to do, of course, worshipping the idols, which is the worst thing they did. They associated partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They worshipped other idols. The woman was like any other luggage in the house. If someone dies, the heirs will inherit the money and they will inherit the woman as well. The stepmother used to be married by the son. The son had the right to marry his stepmother. The woman did not have any right in the inheritance. Only men. Once a husband dies, the woman had to wait for 1 year, one full year. That was the period of sadness, ihdad, for 1 year. During this year, she doesn't wear perfume, she doesn't put any makeup, she doesn't bathe for one full year. That was obligation. And you could imagine, if someone did not take a shower for 1 year, what will happen? The Arab, the males, they used to marry unlimited wives. And if a man disliked his wife, he will not approach her, but he will keep her. So she cannot marry any other husband, and she cannot do anything. Neither she is divorced, nor she is having the rights of a wife. So these are few examples for what happened, the social life before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The grandfather of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is Abdul Muttalib. And we mentioned the story of the elephant. What happened when Abdul Muttalib took his camels and he left Abraha to deal with the Kaaba, and he knew that he will be destroyed. How Abdul Muttalib became the leader of Quraysh? Quraysh, when they gained the leadership back, they had many families. The family of Makhzum, the family of Taym, and Banu Hashim, the tribe of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So why Abdul Muttalib became the leader of Quraysh? There is a story. He saw in his dream the place for the well of Zamzam. And in the morning he went and he started digging and uncovering the well, until he was able to uncover the well. But the people of Quraysh, they said, you cannot take it for yourself. We will not let you become our leader. We have to share you with this honor. Because remember, whoever owns the leadership in Quraysh, he is like the leader of all Arab. So they said, we have to go for arbitration. We have to choose a judge to judge between us. You cannot take the leadership. He said, fine. And they decided to move north for one of the monks to ask him, In the way, there was rain coming, and it came only to Abdul Muttalib. So they knew that it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they went back and they said, we will give you the leadership. And Abdul Muttalib became the leader of Quraysh. That's why the Messenger sometimes, in the Battle of Hunayn, he said, أَنَا النَّبِيُّ لَا كَذِبْ أَنَا ابْنُ عَبْدُ الْمُطَّلِبِ. I am the son of Abdul Muttalib. Abdul Muttalib is not his father. Abdul Muttalib is his grandfather. But he was famous amongst all the Arab. So Abdul Muttalib became very well known. And because of that honor, he became the leader of Quraysh. He pledged to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If he gave him 10 children, he will slaughter, he will sacrifice the last one of them. And last one was Abdullah, the father of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he wanted to sacrifice his own son. And people told him, that's not right. Allah has blessed you with the son and you want to sacrifice him? So they said, you have to expiate. You have to, instead of fulfilling your vow, you have to pay the ransom, the compensation. And they used to draw lots. They write the name, one lot, and the other lot is the sacrifice. So the first time, the name of his son came. So he said, I will sacrifice my son. They told him, you have to add more camels. He started with 10 camels. And he added 10 camels. And every time the name of his son comes, until he reached 100 camels. When it became 100 camels, the name of the sacrifice came. So they said, now you can sacrifice 100 camels. And from that time, it was known that whoever killed a person, he had to sacrifice 100 camels, unless it's a murder. If it's a murder, the man deserves to be killed. But if it's not a murder, it's by mistake, then the compensation should be 100 camels. It started from that time. So Abdullah was spared, his life was spared by sacrificing 100 camels. Abdullah, he was not famous, because he did not live a long life. He married Amina bint Wahb. She is his wife. And again, you ask some people, what's the name of the mother of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And they may not know. They may list to you all the names of the players of any sports team, but they may not tell you few details about the history of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born on what year? Can someone tell me? 571. Do you know the date exactly? It was Monday, the 9th of Rabi' al-Awwal. Monday, the Prophet ﷺ, when he asked about fasting Monday, he said, that's the day I was born in. That's the day when I was born, Monday. So he was born on Monday, 9th of Rabi' al-Awwal, 40 years before the Hijrah. It is Monday, April 22nd, 571. Actually, this is incorrect, 40. It's 53. 53 before Hijrah. Yeah, 53 before Hijrah. This is a mistake. So that's the, in the Gregorian calendar, it is April 22nd, 571. Now, some people, they celebrate the birthday of the Prophet ﷺ on 12th of Rabi' al-Awwal, which is incorrect. Why people celebrate the birthday of the Prophet ﷺ on the 12th, while he was born on the 9th? When did this start? Now this will come inshallah when we study the history later on, but since we mentioned the birth of the Prophet ﷺ, we need to discuss it a little bit. When did this phenomenon start, celebrating the birthday of the Prophet ﷺ? Ibn Kathir rahimahullah, in his book of history, Al-Bidayah wa Nihaya, he mentioned that it started after 400 years of Hijrah. The first people to innovate that, the Fatimids in Egypt, who used to follow the Rafida, sectarian. They used to follow that madhab, school of thought, the Shia. They wanted, of course, they were tyrants. They did injustice in Egypt, and they innovated this thing, because they claimed that they are relatives to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now people ask, is it permissible to celebrate the birthday of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam or not? What do you think?
Well, it's not permissible to celebrate a birthday anyway.
It's not permissible to celebrate the birthday anyways. Why? Why? If you say yes, you need to give an evidence. If you say no, you also need to give an evidence. Don't follow the Jews and the Christians. So if we celebrate, we are following them.
Yeah.
How?
Because they put cake, they put candles, they put
candles. They put cake, candles. If someone did not put cake and candles.
You can do like the Prophet ﷺ, you can do like fast.
Fast. What do you think? What do you think? You need an evidence. Now, celebrating the birthday itself for anyone, it's true, it was not done, neither by the Messenger ﷺ nor by any of the companions, as a birthday. But some scholars say this is not a religious event in order for you to look for an evidence. It's not a religious event. It's something worldly. You don't need an evidence to drink Coke or coffee, or to sleep at this time, or to wake up at this time. So they say this is similar regarding the birthday in general. Others say no, it is forbidden, it is copying the Jews and Christians. But when it comes to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it becomes a religious event. So it is very dangerous if you want it. Now some people say we are only reading his seerah, or we are remembering his name, we say the prayer, we send the salams to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is okay, but this should not be done only on that day. Again, the matter is not that serious. It should not be. The time should not be wasted a lot about this issue. Some scholars, even now, they say it's a chance for people to remember the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But again, this should be in all year round. It should be year round. It should not be only on that day. The point I'm trying to make, he remember the exact date of the birthday of the Prophet ﷺ. It is 9th of Rabi' al-Awwal. It is not 12th. On that year, the year of elephant, Monday was not 12th. We have an authentic hadith that he was born on Monday. Monday was the 9th of Rabi' al-Awwal. Now, we are reaching the year of the elephant when the Prophet ﷺ is born. When the Prophet ﷺ was born, there were glad tidings given to Abdul Muttalib. He was not named yet, so Abdul Muttalib took the Prophet ﷺ to the Kaaba and he called him Muhammad. Now why Abdul Muttalib took him? Why not his father, Abdullah? Because he died before his birth. That's correct. Abdullah died before he sees his son. Abdullah died in Medina. In the way back, he was going to Sham and he went back and he died. So Abdullah was already dead. So the Prophet ﷺ was born as an orphan. Abdul Muttalib was given the glad tidings of the Prophet ﷺ. What's the meaning of Muhammad? What's the meaning of Muhammad?
The praised.
The praised. The one that is repeatedly praised. The one who deserves to be praised. That's the meaning of Muhammad. His mother, Amina, she nursed him for a week. Then he was sent to the desert to be nursed by other women. That was the habit for the Arab. That's what they used to do. Why? There is a reason. They used to send him to the desert because in the desert he comes with a sharp memory, with a pure thinking, intelligence, with a strong body. That was the norm. Usually, people from the desert, from the tribes, they come to the cities looking for children to nurse. And a group of women from the tribe of Sa'd came looking for children to nurse. And each woman, she took one of the children. And Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was presented to everyone. But no one took him. Why? Because he was an orphan. Usually, if a woman came and she wanted to nurse a baby, she asks first, who's his father? She wants to nurse a famous infant, so she gets paid well. But she heard that he's orphan, then she will not be paid well. So she did not want to nurse him. The Prophet ﷺ himself was offered to Halima, but she did not take him at the beginning. At the end, Halima did not find anybody to nurse. So she said, I will take Muhammad. I will take him. I don't want to live without anyone. And I don't want this baby to be left. No one took him. So she took him. Now, the signs of prophethood of the Messenger ﷺ were before even he was born. His mother, Amina, she herself, she said that I never felt the pangs and the difficulties, the contraction of the delivery. It was very light pregnancy. When I delivered Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I felt that a light came out of my lower body. And it was mentioned in the narrations that this light was so huge that the palaces of Sham were seen. Thousands of miles away, it was seen when the Prophet ﷺ was born. Halima herself, she said, when I took the Prophet ﷺ, I felt the energy in my body. Because remember, if a woman did not deliver soon, she cannot nurse. She doesn't have milk. So she already has milk for her child. But it was not that enough. Once she carried the Prophet ﷺ, from that moment she felt that she became more energetic. Now when they came in the group, she was the last one. She had a she-donkey. And it was so weak that she was in the last of the group. Once she carried the Prophet ﷺ in the way back, she came in the front. And her peers, they used to tell her, wait for us. Is it the same she asked that you used to use in the way coming? She said yes. And they told her, what happened? That's the blessing of the Prophet ﷺ. When they reached the tribe of Banu Sa'd, again, they felt the blessing of the presence of the Prophet ﷺ. They had sheep, and all of them became full of milk. Once there is rain, it comes to their place, the place of Halima. So they were blessed by the presence of the Prophet ﷺ. Usually, the period of nursing is 2 years. Once the baby reaches 2 years, he is taken back to his mother. Now, Halima did not want to give him back to his family. because she noticed that he's a blessed infant. He's a blessed baby. She came back. Instead of giving back the baby to his mother, she told his mother, "Why don't you keep him with me? It is better. He will grow and he will become stronger." So she begged her a lot just to keep Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And his mother eventually agreed. She accepted. And she kept him with Halima. Halima took him back. And he remained with her until he reached 6 years old. When he was 6 years old, there was an important incident happened. But before that, Halima, she nursed him. And her daughter also nursed him. Ash-Shayma. Or her name was Judama. Ayman, Baraka. She nursed the Prophet ﷺ also in Mecca. And Thuwayba, the female slave of Abu Lahab, she also nursed the Prophet ﷺ. How many women nursed the Prophet ﷺ? Five. Five women. Five women nursed the Prophet ﷺ. And the more women nurses the baby, the stronger he will become. That's why the Prophet ﷺ, he became very strong, very fluent in the language. And of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prepared him for that position. These five women, they nursed the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abu Salama ibn Abd al-Asad, Abu Salama, the companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he is his foster brother to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was nursed by one woman. The same thing, Hamza radiallahu anhu. Who's Hamza? The uncle of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hamza ibn Abdul Muttalib. Hamza is the uncle of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he is also the foster brother of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So now, Halima took the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam back to the tribe of Sa'd. And her son used to play with the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She kept the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam until he became 6 years old. When he became 6 years old, he and his brother, the son of Halima, were playing. And suddenly, two people came. They took the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They opened his chest. They took a small black piece, and then they put his heart after they washed it, and they closed his chest again. Now his brother saw that, and he ran to his mother, to Halima, crying. He thought that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam died. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself became scared. Imagine if you are 6 years old, two people come to you, they lay you down, they open your chest, and they do this operation. Anas radiallahu anhu, he himself, he said, "I used to see the line of the stitches in the chest of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam." How this happened? This is a miracle. If your heart is removed, you die. But this happened to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and nothing wrong happened to him. Now Halima became very scared. She did not want any trouble to happen to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because eventually it will trouble her as well. So she took him back to his mother. Few years earlier, she was begging his mother to keep him. And now, she brought him back. So Amina, she suspected. She said, what's going on? What happened? You begged me to keep him. She said, "Yes, but I want to give you your son back." She said, "You have to tell me what happened." So Halima told her about the incident. But Amina, she was certain. She said, "I'm pretty sure nothing wrong will happen to me." At that time, she mentioned to her what happened to her in the pregnancy. She said, "My pregnancy was very light. His delivery was very easy. So I'm pretty sure Allah will protect him." And that's what happened. Then his mother died. And now he moved to his grandfather, Abdul Muttalib. A few years later, Abdul Muttalib also died. So now the Prophet ﷺ with his uncle, Abu Talib. This is the childhood of the Messenger ﷺ. His father died, he did not see his father. His mother died, and his grandfather. The people who loved him most, they all died. Why? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted the Prophet ﷺ to be attached only to him, only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why, who educated the Messenger ﷺ? Who brought him up? Allah. That's what Allah says in the Quran. أَلَمْ يَجِدْكَ يَتِيمًا فَآوَى. This is in Surah Al-Duha. أَلَمْ يَجِدْكَ يَتِيمًا فَآوَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who gave you the shelter. وَوَجَدَكَ ضَالًا فَهَدَى. There is a wisdom behind that. Nowadays, if people lose one relative, one dear person to them, they cry and they become impatient. While the Messenger ﷺ lost all the beloved ones to him. His father, his mother, and his grandfather. So now he moved to his uncle, Abdul Muttalib. And Abdul Muttalib had other children. But he loved the Messenger ﷺ. Abu Talib was not the only uncle to the Prophet ﷺ. But Abdul Muttalib, before he dies, he asked to keep Muhammad ﷺ with Abu Talib, not with anyone else, for a reason. And this will be your job. I want you to find out why Abdul Muttalib chose Abu Talib to take care of the Prophet ﷺ instead of any other uncle. And with this, we will stop here, inshallah. This is the end of our session. هذا وصلى الله وسلم على نبي محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.